Francesca is here to talk movies, and first up we have a rom-com, Hampstead Downs, with Diane Keaton and Brendan Gleeson.
This is an eviction notice. You're living on land worth millions.
They really don't want you here.
Oh my God.
It's a shame, if only they got to know me.
We're gonna help you, man.
What am I, your cause of the month now?
Every time someone threatens your pride, you puff up like an emotional porcupine. If you really want to stay here, you're gonna have to fight for it.
The way I live might seem different to a lot of people. All I care about is my home. And in that regard, I'm no different to any of you.
See, I like the shorts. I mean, shorts can be very misleading, and I am a Diane Keaton fan, but I thought this looked good.
I tell you what, you'll love her wardrobe.
I do.
She's got, and she's in a real sort of Diane Keaton wardrobe in this film. It's just stunning. The fact that I'm probably starting to talk about her clothes probably gives you an indication as to where we're going with this film. And you're quite right. When I saw the trailer, I went, oh, lovely. This just looks light and pleasant and easy. And that's exactly what it is. And Diane Keaton and Brendan Gleeson are the stars. They're the reason that you would go and watch this romantic comedy. I think at the end of the day, the material isn't quite worthy of them. You know, they deserve a little bit better. They deserve a little bit more. But they do a really nice job of this film. So basically, Diane Keaton plays Emily. She was a once wealthy widow and who, after the death of her husband, discovers that he was actually an adulterer and has left her in a financial mess. So she's trying to work out what she's going to do with the rest of her life, who she wants to be, how she's going to manage. At the same time, she meets this person who is the complete opposite to her, Donald, and he lives in a makeshift home on Hampstead's Heath. And he's lived there for over 12 years. He is harmless. He grows his own food and makes products for local cafes and things. And he's just living a quiet life, but some greedy property developers are coming in and trying to evict him. So basically they get together, they help each other with their issues. The love story is very predictable. You know, it does touch on issues of housing and urban sprawl and homelessness and things like that. But really this is just frivolous light fun for a rainy Sunday afternoon.
Is it, would you go so far as to say that it's a bit dull?
That's a very good question, Kate. Yeah, it just didn't quite maybe sort of...
Never got going.
Never quite, yeah. No, I mean, they are lovely together. They're quite an unusual couple, but actually they managed to pull off the chemistry, which I think is important. And I loved, the one thing I did love about the film is that, you know, it's a story about second chances at any stage of your life, which is kind of lovely.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So verdict out of 5 stars?
2.5 out of 5.
Oh, 2.5.
So, you know, okay.
All right. Okay.
All right. Okay.
I won't bother with that one then. Thank you for that. Next up, 47 Meters Down.
Okay, so if you like films about great white sharks stalking young women, then this is for you. So this is quite a cheap, cheerful film, not a big budget film at all. It's a lot of people will go, oh, this sounds very much like The Shallows, which was released last year, which kind of became a bit of a box office sensation. This film was actually made before The Shallows was released. And it's quite a clever idea. So it's basically the story of these two sisters who are in Mexico on holiday, one suffering, grieving from a relationship breakup, and they decided to live a little and go and look at some great white sharks by diving in one of those cages, right? Now, most of us, when we turn up to the boat and would see this very old, rusty boat with a really decrepit looking cage, would probably just go back to the pool for another cocktail. But these girls are like, no, let's give it a shot. Anyway, they get in the cage, they go diving, have a great time. And then as they're being winched up, the winch fails and they plummet 47 meters to the bottom of the ocean. So this film, it's not trying to replicate a real life kind of situation. It's playing on all our fears of being attacked by sharks, drowning, literally being stuck at the bottom of the ocean with a tank of air which is running out, and how you're going to solve this problem and how you're going to get to the top.
It sounds horrific. And,
you know what? There's some pretty cheesy script. I don't think it's hugely, what happens underwater isn't hugely believable, but I have to be honest, there were some moments where I was just screaming at the screen for this just to be done and over. So, you know, if you like films filled with tension and anxiety, then this is for you. What I also liked about it is that they don't overdo the great whites. So when they do come in, like they don't, you know, they don't get too much screen time. So when they do come in, they are horrific. They're horrifying. I mean, it just, I've got so many friends at the moment who seem to be popping off for midwinter breaks to tropical islands. And as I'm not, I keep suggesting they go to this film. Just
put them off.
Which is really nasty of me.
Put them off any swimming. So verdict out of five?
So 2.5 out of 5.
I think that's generous, actually, Francesca. And finally, the New Zealand International Film Festival. What a lovely one.
Yes. Now, I have a bit of an addiction to films, documentaries about architects and war correspondents. For some reason, I'm really fascinated about the way their minds work. And Big Time is a film about Bjarke Ingels, and he is a Danish architect who is... The film actually follows him for 7 years, and when we meet him, he's 40 years old. He's one of the most inventive and sought-after architects in the world. He created a power plant and resource centre in Copenhagen, and on the roof, he made a ski field. He's just really interesting, and the documentary follows him going to New York, setting up a New York office. What I like about this documentary, as opposed to maybe other documentaries that are kind of biographies on architects, is this film really looks at the pressure architects are under, the pressure of running a company, completing a job, winning jobs. He's the creative force behind this very large company, and he needs to be in so many places running so many things, and it sort of shows a different side. It's not a glamorous job. And the other thing the film does is it kind of presents architecture as an exercise in problem solving. You know, you get this moment to be creative, and then the rest of it is dealing with people and coming up and dealing with expectations. So it sort of shows a bit of a different side. What I also liked about it was near the end of the film, it becomes more personal, and he has a bit of a health crisis. And he's 40, he's single, he's a workaholic. You know, he thought he'd have a family. And so there's also a nice little love story in there as well. Anyway, I'm fascinated by this guy. Really enjoyed the documentary. I've been Googling all his work now because it is quite extraordinary. So if you like films about architects, I highly recommend Big Time.
Fabulous. It was good to end on a positive there, Francesca.
On a positive. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Francesca Rudkin.